If you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalm, the 119th Psalm. The 119th Psalm. So we're going to begin in our ongoing study through the Psalm. We're going to go ahead and start Psalm 119. Now, a little bit of tongue-in-cheek, but kind of serious too. You want to know why Psalms 119 is 172 verses long? The reason is because there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And you say, what does one have to do with the other one? The way this particular psalm is laid out, each line of each section. So for us, it's divided up in roughly sections of 8 verses, okay? And you'll look at the illustration here in a minute. But if you go back to Hebrew, the lines in each section, like the first section, every line begins with the same letter of the Hebrew alphabet. For instance, I'll bring this chart up here real quick. Read this from right to left, right to left. If you'll come over on this side, you see the squiggly one up top called Aleph. That's the first letter. That would be our A. So imagine you're going to write a poem, and every line of that poem has to begin with the letter A. And you've got to write it where it makes sense. And then add on top of that, many times, and we've kind of talked about this in our earlier days of studying through the book of Psalms there, things would be stated twice, kind of two different ways, but it would state the same thing twice. So now you're going to write a poem, and in each line, you're kind of saying the same thing twice, but each line has to begin with the first letter of the alphabet, A, in the first section. And then you go to B, the next section, and every line has to start with a B. So imagine getting to X in our alphabet trying to do that. Well, this is what Psalm 119 is. Each section is devoted to, that's not the right word, but is for a letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And every line in the Hebrew writings there begins with that letter. So I don't know if you can see this. Maybe, maybe not. I know I can't read it very good on the back. It's so small. But this right here is an example from an interlinear Bible. So the big black bold letters, that's Hebrew. And if we're going to read it, we're going to start over here on this side, and we're going to read it in that direction. And you'll notice the first character by the number one there and by the number two there, that is Aleph. And if you were to look at every line in this first section, each line would begin with that Hebrew letter Aleph. Now, beneath it, you see the translations, and so we won't get much into that, but that kind of illustrates the challenge of not only writing this, but now imagine translating it. Because when we look at it in our biblical text, let me come forward here to the very first line. The first two verses begin with B, and after that, it's every man for himself. Because you can't do the translation that way. Just because of the differences between the languages and everything. You might try, but it would be hard-pressed to duplicate that. So, with that being said, I just want to kind of give you a little bit of background there to this psalm and why it's 172 verses. Because there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and each section is devoted to that letter that corresponds to that letter. So for us, what we're going to do in the first lesson, if time permits, we're going to study the first 5 sections. If time doesn't permit, I'll stop after the first 4, and then we'll continue it at a later point in time. But now let's go ahead and start with Aleph, the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And the first section here, the blessedness of those who keeps his law, would be a good way of kind of summarizing the first 8 verses here. So let's go ahead and begin. We'll read the first 4 verses, and then a couple of things we'll talk about, and then we'll go on to the next 4. So he writes, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Now, the Hebrew word translated for us as blessed can also mean kind of the idea of the word happy. But we think about what he says here. The psalmist praises the Lord, saying, blessed are the undefiled in the way of the Lord. All right, what would be another way of wording that? Who walk in the law of the Lord. Why is an individual who's undefiled, why is he happy? Why is he blessed? Why is he favored, if you would? It's because he walks in the law of the Lord. Side note, as we go through this psalm, there will be several references using different wording to the law of the Lord, the testimonies of the Lord, the commands of the Lord. And in every instance, it is the idea of us abiding by them, of us upholding them. Verse number 2, he says, blessed are those who keep his testimonies. So we have, blessed are those who walk in the way of the Lord, and blessed are those who keep his testimony, who seek him with the whole heart. Think about this for just a moment, this word seek. When you look at the psalm here, and we're going to look at a couple of verses all within the same psalm, this idea of seeking the Lord is stated several times. We see it first off in verse number 2 when he says, who seek him with a whole heart. But then look down at verse 10. With my whole heart I have sought you. And then later in verse number 45, we see a similar idea again. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. Then verse 94. Same idea. He says, I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. And then finally in Psalm 155, he then says, salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. What separates us from the wicked, from the people of the world? We seek the way of the Lord. We seek him with the whole heart. Blessed are those who do this, who keep his commandments, who keep his testimony, and who seek the Lord with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. So kind of in the same light as the idea of seeking him with the whole heart, he has commanded us to keep his precepts diligently. But then we continue. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. He says, I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. The psalmist here recognizes that it is because of the Lord that he has deliverance, that he has salvation. And it is because of the law of the Lord that the Lord has given him that he is able to walk in a way that's pleasing unto the Lord. But he says, oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. You kind of see this theme. The psalmist recognizing the importance of abiding by the will of God. You know, many times we talk about serving the Lord as being involving the heart. Think about the idea of seeking the Lord with all of our heart, similar to what we read a while ago. But please understand, our faithfulness of God demands that we abide by his word. And when we see this, we see the significance of that. Then I would not be ashamed. He says, oh, that, though, read this again. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then he says, I would not be ashamed when I looked into all your commandments. He says, I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. You know, this morning we were talking about in our Revelation class about the judgments of God upon the world. And God's judgments are righteous. Whether we're talking about the judgment upon the faithful or the judgment on the wicked, his judgments are righteous. And so this psalmist here acknowledges that. He says, I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not, he says, oh, do not forsake me utterly. The psalmist here is striving to serve the Lord. He is striving to abide by the will of the Lord and to walk in the righteousness that the Lord teaches and that he shows within his word. But that's the first section. But now let's look at the next section. This one's based off the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And I believe the pronunciation of this is Bet. Okay? Now, someone said, yeah, there's an H there. Well, the H, when it comes, and by the way, I have no Hebrew scholar. I have no training. You know, just what I can find on the internet in like 30 minutes, you know. So it's got to be right. It's from the internet. But anyway, the letter H is silent when it comes at the end of the word. Now, when it comes earlier in the word, like, you know, like at the beginning of the word, and we're going to see hey here in just a minute, H-E, that's the way it's pronounced, the H is sounded, it's heard. But when it comes at the end of the word, it is silent. So this would be Bet. So in this section, dedicated to the second letter Bet of the Hebrew alphabet, we're going to see the idea of holiness, the fruit of keeping the law of God. What does that yield within our lives when we abide by His word? So again, remember, each line in the Hebrew writing of this begins with this Hebrew letter Bet. So he says here, beginning now in verse 9, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart, he says, I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Let's pause there and look at this for just a moment. The question posed, how can a young man cleanse his way? Here's the answer, by taking heed according to your word. How do we walk faithfully before the Lord? How are we to be set apart before the Lord? How are we to be considered holy before the Lord? By abiding by His word. But the only way we can truly abide by His word is what we see in verse 10. He says, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandment. When we talk about spirituality, when we talk about being spiritual, it is something that must begin within our heart. It must begin within our heart because our heart has been taught and trained by the word and has been convinced. Now bear with me what I'm about to say here for a minute. But when you study the word of God, the goal is for your heart to fall in love with the Lord. Now think about that for just a moment. The first time you meet the love of your life, some people talk about love at first sight. Typically, this is the prettiest person I've ever seen. And there's really something about them that I like. But you don't know them well enough to truly love them. You will, given time. In this case in point, someone reading the Bible for the first time, reading one verse, is not going to develop that love. They've got to study the Word of God. And the more you study about what God has done, the psalmist in experiencing the Lord within his life and all that the Lord had done for them, he developed and let grow a great love for the Lord. So much so, he says, with my whole heart I have sought you. We seek Him from the heart because we've been convicted by His word, by the truth of Him and who He is, that He is the one. We are to do as the law taught and as Jesus said, love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And when we have that love for the Lord, notice what the next line says. Oh, do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden. The New King James Version says hidden. The idea behind the word there could mean also store up in my heart. One of the things we try to do with our young people is to teach them memorization. Memorizing Bible verses, memorizing Bible facts. How many kings of Judah? How many kings of Israel? Let's talk about the promise that God made to Abraham. How many sons of Jacob? And it seems like, well, you're just memorizing a bunch of Bible facts. But they're like the building blocks for your young person's knowledge of the Word of God. Who has ever criticized teaching your children the alphabet? Think about your child. When they were 2, when they were 3, when they were 4, you're already beginning to show them the letters of the alphabet. And you're getting them used to being able to say, and they can't read anything until they can. And they can because you have helped them form the building blocks, and at some point they're able to read and write sonnets. Because the building blocks are there. Same way with the Word of God and the facts of the Bible. We learn them when we are young so that as we become older, the puzzle pieces go together and it develops our understanding. You have hidden, you have stored up your word in my heart. Reminds me of what Jeremiah writes in Jeremiah 31. Beginning in verse 31 and following there, same thing that the Hebrew writer quoted in Hebrews chapter 8, how that the Lord would put his laws and his commands on the minds and the heart of his people. And that's, he's talking about the time of the new covenant of Christ. But this idea of the law of the Lord being in our hearts and minds isn't exclusive to the new covenant. Even the psalmist recognized the importance of the word of the Lord existing within their mind. Your word I have hidden, stored up in my heart, that I might not sin against you. That's how we walk faithfully before the Lord. Because we have studied it. We have put it up here. We let it abide within our hearts and within our mind. Not just in our mind, because then it becomes just more academic knowledge. But even within our hearts. Because then it becomes the motivating drive within our lives, because it is what God would have us to do, it is what God would have us to know, and it is the way God would have us to live our lives. That I might not sin against you, he writes. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. Blessed are you, O Lord. He says, teach me your statutes. Then he says, with my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Now, there's several things there. Only four we'll kind of point out here real quick because there's only four verses here. But I want you to notice a few things. First off, he says, with my lips I have declared what? He says, all the judgments of your mouth. What the Lord has said, what the Lord has determined, what his judgments are, that's what we say. You know, we were talking a little bit in our Bible class again this morning about righteous judgment. And righteous judgment is only righteous when it's based in the word of the Lord. And it is what the Lord has already declared. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies. How much? As much as in all riches. That's how valuable we find the testimonies of the Lord to be. He says, I will meditate on your precepts. I will contemplate your way. Meditate on your precepts. How much time do we spend thinking about what the Word of God teaches? Well, there's a caveat to that. In order to think about what the Word of God teaches, you've got to what? Know the Word of God. We've got to study. We have to study his word to know his word. Then we think about it. We let it reside and abide within our hearts and our mind, contemplating the ways of the Lord. He says, I will delight myself in your statutes. And then he says, I will not forget your word. I will delight myself in your statutes, in your laws, in your testimonies, in your commands. This is a continuing theme throughout this psalm. But it reflects the heart of the one who loved the Lord and who loved the law of the Lord. That comes to the end of the second Hebrew letter. Let's move now to the third, Gimel. Third letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Gimel. Or Gimel, really, Gimel. This section talks about eyes beholding the truth of God's law. Here's what he says. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. Now, we'll stop there. Notice what he says as he begins there in verse 17. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. The ultimate desire, it seems, on the part of the psalmist is to serve the Lord. And as long as he is on this earth, to serve the Lord. And we see this being reflected here within this statement, deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. He doesn't say that I may live and be wealthy and be rich. That wasn't important to him. What was important? To live and keep your word. And then he says, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your, what does he say there? Law. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Pray for understanding. Pray for wisdom. James talks about that. James chapter 1, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally. But that prayer is not going to be answered without the Word of God. We have to know His Word. We need to be learning His Word, growing in His Word, understanding His Word, opening our eyes to the wondrous things from your law. I've known people through my years of preaching that they really don't like Old Testament sermons. And there was a complaint years ago, this elderly lady complained. She said, you preach too much from the Old Testament. Now, maybe I preached it too boring. I don't know what she didn't like about it, but it was just too much, she said. But we come back to this right here. The people who wrote this, whether it be David or other inspired psalmists, they didn't see the law of the Lord as something laborsome, as something boring. They saw the law of the Lord as life. And they saw the wondrous things that were written within the law. Verse 19 kind of points to the significance of it. He says, I'm a stranger in the earth. Now, another word for stranger could be sojourner. The way that especially the faithful Israelites felt, or I should say not really felt, it's not the right word, but the way that they perceived life is that they were foreigners and strangers. I mean, for a long time they were. I mean, Abraham, although he was given the land of Canaan, it would not be given to his descendants until 400 years had passed by. And even then they had to fight and work to hold on to it. And then after a period of time, they lost it. And the psalmist kind of acknowledges that he felt like a stranger, a sojourner on this earth. Well, what do you do when you feel that way? That you are alone, that you are amongst people who don't serve God, who have no desire to serve God. You turn to the Lord. You rely upon the Lord. How many times have we said, at least to the point or the effect, that with God we know that we're never alone, because we put our faith and our trust in Him and in His Word. And we have the confidence to know that even if we are physically standing alone, we are not alone, because we are still with Him. So He says, do not hide your commandments from me. The idea may be that He sees the significance of, or the importance of, the commands of God within His life as He is a sojourner on this earth. And so he begs the Lord, he prays to the Lord, do not hide your commandments from me. He says, my soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. That's a powerful statement. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. Whether we're talking about judgments upon the enemies that had brought problems or whatever it may be upon the psalmist here, or just the general judgments of life where he bestows blessings and favor upon those who serve Him. Your testimonies also are my delight. Sorry, wrong verse. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all time. And then verse 21. He then says, you rebuke the proud, the cursed who stray from your commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. There were, throughout the course of Israel history, many of the leaders who were ungodly people. Many individuals who were supposed to be influential and caring for the people, they were not. And so he says here, you rebuke the proud. You rebuke the cursed. The reason why? They are the ones that stray from His commandments. They are the ones who stray from the Lord. Remove me from reproach and contempt. He says, I have kept your testimonies. You know, he's not bragging, but he's stating the truth about his life. He understands and recognizes that as long as he walks in the will of the Lord, he will be, as in New Testament terminology, in the fellowship of the Lord. And so he prays for the Lord not to depart from him, but to stay with him and to remove him from reproach and contempt. And that's more than likely talking about not from God, but from those who are persecuting him, from the proud, from as verse 3 says, the princes. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight. And then notice the last part, and my counselors. Can we say the same thing within our lives about the Word of God? We should be able to. We should view the Word of God, His testimonies, the words of Christ, the words of the apostles, the inspired writings of the New Testament, all scriptures given by inspiration of God. We should view all the scriptures as a source of delight and comfort, and let them serve as counselors within our life in serving the Heavenly Father. Let's move on now to the fourth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Dalet. Dalet's the fourth letter. And again, like all the other ones, every line in the Hebrew text will begin with Dalet, begin with this fourth letter of the alphabet. And in this section, we're going to look at a prayer to understand the precepts of God. So beginning in verse 25 now, he says, my soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. I have declared my ways and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, so shall I meditate on your wonderful works. My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. I love that first part in verse 25. My soul clings to the dust. He says, revive me according to your word. Sometimes living in the flesh is like an anchor, and it weights us down. It makes it very difficult when we're striving to serve the Lord. And so what does he pray for? He says, revive me according to your word. Give me the strength according to your word to walk faithfully and to be upheld in the ways or before the eyes of the world. Think about, again, Ephesians 6. We briefly touched on that this morning, where Paul talks about being able to take a stand. Well, the only reason why we can take a stand is because we have been revived by the word of the Lord. Revive me according to your word. I have declared my ways and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. The Lord knows. And I'm not exactly sure if that's what the psalmist means, but I'm going to equate it to what Peter says when we're told to cast our cares upon the Lord. He knows what we are going through. He knows the things that we face. And so we turn to him. We declare our ways to him, and he answers us. And so the psalmist says, teach me your statutes. It still comes back to that. Make me understand the way of your precepts. He is desiring a knowledge and an understanding of the Word of God so that he might be able to think upon, to meditate upon the wonderful works that are contained within, and to use this as the ongoing drive within his life to serve the Lord. My soul melts from heaviness. Connect that again with what he says, my soul clings to the dust. He says, my soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Strengthen me according to your word. And then verses 29 through 32, he says, remove from me the way of lying and grant me your law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments, we come back to that word again, your judgments I have laid before me. I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. The psalmist lies, has rested himself, I should say, within the truth of the Word of God. And he says, and grant me your law graciously. I've chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid out before me. Reasons why we serve the Lord, we lay his judgments out before us. And we understand, when we understand his word, we understand how we serve the Lord. That's why we cling to his testimonies. And he prays, do not put me to shame. And he says, I'll run the course of your commandments. Why? Why will I be able to run the course of your commandments? He says, for you shall enlarge my heart. He trusts the Lord. He believes in the word of the Lord, and he knows the significance of it being his very life. And then lastly, we'll look at the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, hey, I believe that's the way it's pronounced. It looks like he, but I believe it's pronounced hey. And it is the perseverance based on God's promises we see relayed in the last of our section we're looking at today. Let's start in verse number 33. 33 through 40. In the last section here, again, each line in the Hebrew text begins with this fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, hey. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in your path, in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Now, a couple of things here within this text. What a wonderful attitude to have. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes. And he says, and I shall keep it to the end. We want to know the word of the Lord so we know how to serve the Lord. We want to walk in the way of the word of the Lord so we can be found pleasing unto the Lord. And so like him, we also pray for understanding. Give me understanding. He says, I will keep your law. I will shall observe it with my whole heart. There's the idea of the heart again. We saw that a while ago. The idea of serving the Lord must come from within our heart. It must come from the center and the seat of who we truly are. Make me walk in your path of your commandments, for I delight in it. I do want to talk briefly about 36, where he says, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Let's look in verse 5 for just a brief moment here. Psalm 119, let me draw your attention there back to verse 5. We read this a while ago, but let's bring it back again to our discussion there. He says, oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. So here we see, incline my heart to your testimonies. But in verse number 5, we saw the wording, oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. He's praying for guidance. He's praying for understanding, but not just understanding, but the very will and the knowledge to be able to serve the Lord. Psalm 112 is kind of the same thought there with that. He says, I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. But what is interesting about this, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. One of the greatest challenges, one of the greatest threats to the life of a follower of God is covetousness. We need to learn to be content with all that God has given to us. We need to recognize that covetousness becomes a form of idolatry. It is actually, according to the New Testament, considered idolatry. And so the psalmist here is not praying for wealth. He's not praying for great things. He's praying for something simple. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. What a prayer. What a prayer to pray to God. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. He prays for the word to be established within his heart, within him. He prays that he will turn away, that the Lord will turn away his reproach because he recognizes, for your judgments are good. And then, behold, I long for your precepts. We should long for the commands of the Lord. We should have a desire to understand and to know his word. And we are so blessed because we can open our Bibles every day. You can open your Bible and read it every day. Single day. And someone says, well, what's the significance of that? Well, at the time period that this was written, their Bible, if you would, consisted of the law, the first five books. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Might have, again, depending on when it was written, included 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings. But much of what would come later, by the time when this was written, was still in development, if you would, through inspiration. And so here, we can start from this point, and we can look back to all God has done and look forward to everything that he has done and that he will do, all taught within his word. And so when the psalmist here says, I long for your precepts, he's uttering something that existed within his heart, a desire that should exist within our hearts as well. And then he says, last one, revive me in your righteousness, not our righteousness. Our righteousness is worthless. What I would deem to be righteous is nothing. What is significant is the righteousness of the Lord and what he determines to be righteous and what he chooses to make righteous. And the psalmist here realized that in order for that to be the case, in order for him to be revived in righteousness, he had to turn and keep turning to God. His commands, his laws, his precepts, put it within his heart, put it within his mind, put it even within his soul, if you would, letting it abide with him. Now, that's just the first 40 verses out of 172. That's five sections out of 22 sections. And so we'll continue this probably once we get into the month of April on another given Sunday evening. But if you haven't read the rest of the Psalm, Psalm 119, do so. Take the time and look at each section and the message that is contained therein, written by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and pull from that the teachings, the admonition, and the encouragement that would encourage you and me both to make certain that we have the love for the law of the Lord within our hearts and within our minds. If you're not a Christian, you need to become a child of God. He has done so much for you. And if you're saying to yourself, what has he done for me? Then let's sit down and study with you and show you from the Word the love of God. And then we pray, it will be our prayer that you'll be convicted by the Word to turn to him and obey the gospel's call in salvation. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then make the decision to make the repentant change within your life, be buried with him in baptism, so you rise up to walk in newness of life. If you are a Christian, you've not been living faithfully, go back and check your love for the law of God. And if you find that you've not been studying it and that you've forgotten and it no longer dwells within your life, then get back to the Word, put it back within your heart, put it back within your mind, and walk again in fellowship with God. If you're accepted to the gospel's call and invitation, come forward as we stand and as we sing.